It's a challenge getting up on our...
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Tuesday night, every other week, open call. We are going to have a little fun tonight, I think. We will not have Jesse with us tonight. He has a speaking engagement tonight, so he is not going to be with us. So far, we have Terry here. I'm looking for the other moderators, John and Larry, to show up on the board. We would anticipate probably a smaller number of people tonight. The calls are lighter in the late spring into early summer. That's not at all unusual. And we'll take whatever callers we have, and we will try and help them out. Good evening, Sir John.
Good evening. How are you?
How are you?
Well,
I'm still alive and kicking.
Modem and router back.
You got your modem and router back. Oh, do you have some problems?
Yeah, we got spiked by lightning on Thursday, and
Ooh, really?
It wiped everything out. Yep, fried the modem, burned out the WAN port on the router, burned out the WAN port on or the inbound port on my PCI card for the computer. So. Back in business.
That's exactly what happened to my stuff about 4 years ago. We had a lightning strike.
Were you on a battery backup?
Yeah, it came through the cable.
Wow.
Yeah, mine came through the telephone line.
Yeah, I had it happen in Eastman where it came through the telephone line and zapped everything, but it fried the It only got the router, you know. It didn't hurt the computer, so I got really lucky. Fried the hell out of that router, though.
Yeah. Well, when mine happened, it got my router. It got the PC card on one of my computers. The others, it didn't affect it for some reason. It wiped out both of the receivers for the U-verse, wiped out the TV. I mean, it was almost a full sweep, but you know, lightning is no fun. That's the first time I've ever had that happen. I hope it's the last.
Me too.
But yeah, no fun, no fun. Anyway, I want to welcome everybody to the call tonight. Again, I want to mention that Jesse will not be with us tonight. He has a speaking engagement, and he will be absent with leave. He does have leave tonight. We let him off. We didn't tell him he had to cancel a speaking engagement. Maybe he's speaking somewhere with President Trump or something. I don't know. But either way, he will not be with us tonight. So I guess I have to do the disclaimer. I can't do the patented disclaimer, so I'll just have to do the disclaimer and tell everybody that we're going to have some fun tonight. We're going to talk about legal issues. We're not going to give any legal advice because we don't know what it is. Only attorneys can give legal advice. If my life depended on me giving legal advice, I'd be one dead duck. And I like to be alive. So no legal advice here. If you want that, go find yourself a bar-licensed attorney. But if you want to engage us with some educational conversation, that's what we're here for. We're here to help people answer questions about situations they may have, and we will do our best to do that. If we don't know the answer, we'll tell you we don't know the answer and try and point you in the direction of where you might find the information that you need to deal with your situation. But no legal advice here. So we have Terry, we have John. Obviously, myself, I'm still looking to see if Larry has made an appearance. I see him on the board here, and there he is. Good evening, Larry.
Here I am.
There you are. What a deal. All right, so we got everybody but Jesse tonight. And like I said, he is absent with leave tonight, so we'll do our best to take care of any questions. And I do want to tell everybody, you know, it is early summer. My call last night, we had a smaller crowd. We ended up just a little bit early. But if we don't have people on the call tonight with questions, we will go ahead and wrap things up. We aren't here just to hear ourselves talk and take up space on Blog Talk Radio. We're here to help people answer questions. So if you have questions, you want to hit the one key to put yourself in the queue so that I can see that and I can call on you. Don't be waiting until I say, well, I guess that's the last caller we got, and then all of a sudden somebody pops their hand up. We have people to do that sometimes. Please don't do that. Just go ahead and hit the one key on the keypad on your phone, and that would put you in the queue, and we can answer your questions. But we want to see if anybody has, any of our moderators have any good news tonight.
Well, I had an awesome kayak trip this afternoon, and I needed that time off.
Well, for you, that
but
is
I
good
did,
news.
It is, because I've been working so hard. And it was the first time, you know, that we've taken the trip and come back to our own house instead of having to spot cars. And the one thing I did discover real quick when we landed was I'm going to have to put a ladder system at the end of my dock, because it's quite a climb up the rocks to get onto the dock from the water. So I will remedy that real quick.
You'll figure out something on how to deal with that.
Oh, I already figured it out. I just have to go do it.
Oh, okay. Well, who else has got any good news? Larry, you got any good news for us? Got any checks?
In discussion, but nothing confirmed yet.
Nothing in hand yet, huh? Well,
I just got an email from TransUnion that he wanted to double check the address so he can overnight the check to me tomorrow. I forgot about that.
Oh. Okay. Well, I thought you had that all done. That got
that
slowed
was the
down
other
a
one.
Bit. Well, I know
no,
you
that
had
was
the other
one.
Okay.
Right. This one, he was waiting to get the check, and then the lawyer said he would overnight.
Oh,
it.
Okay. Oh, okay. So the attorney had to get the check from TransUnion, and then they're going to send
right.
it to you. Okay. Yep.
Yeah, he,
right.
he went ahead and sent the signed settlement agreement a few days ago.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. Things are moving forward. Well, I had that debt collector out of Minnesota call my landline the 29th of May, left me a rather threatening email, or a voicemail, I should say, and I waited and waited and I waited some more, and I never got the verification letter that they were required to send out after first contact. So the end of last week, I mailed out a debt validation letter to them, because they put the name of their company in the voicemail and an account number and everything. So I put that information in the debt validation letter and sent that off. I checked tonight, and it's still en route. It has not been delivered yet, but going from here all the way to who knows where in Minnesota. Maybe they'll get it tomorrow. But I'm following up on that. And, of course, because of what they did, I have an automatic, even without the sending a debt validation letter, I have an automatic FDCPA violation because they failed to send a verification letter within 5 days of the initial contact. So, and there's a real good recent case law on that. So, you know, there's $1,000 there. We'll just wait and see what happens with the validation letter, see if they send me anything just kind of for fun and giggles. And then, of course, the next step will be to send them a notice of intent to sue and see if they want to settle or whether they want to do it the hard way and pay more. So we'll just have to wait and see. But, you know, if they step on my toes, I'm going to bite back, because that's what we do and that's what we advocate people doing, is standing up for their rights. So anybody else got any good news other than John's good news that he's got his stuff working again? All right. Well, I don't see a hand up on the board. Now, that's kind of interesting. That's kind of interesting. You know, we do these calls every other week right now because it's a quieter time of the year when we get busier and there's more people that have got questions and stuff. We do them more often. But if you have a question for us, hit the one key on the keypad on your phone. That'll put you in the queue so that you can ask your question. And we have somebody here that's raised their hand. We're going to go to 412. You have been unmuted. Go ahead.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
First-time caller. And
well, welcome.
My situation. Thanks. My situation is with a company called Midland. I don't know if anybody heard of them.
You have stepped into the Midland nest.
Yeah. A friend of mine also just got a letter from Midland today, too. But my story is probably a little bit more interesting. This is a small JCPenney credit card with Synchrony Bank. And back in early 2015, I started sending them some accepted for value information paperwork. And they ignored it. And then they warned me that they're going to go to some debt collectors, and it went one, two, three debt collectors that they just Synchrony Bank retained them, and I went through the same accept for value, conditional acceptance for value, and they all disappeared. And Synchrony Bank came back about a year and 5 months later, in May of 2016, and said they're selling the account, or they sold the account to Midland Credit Management, Inc.
Mm-hmm.
And they retain Pressler and Pressler, if you've heard of them, out of New Jersey. I'm over in Pennsylvania. And,
oh, you got all the scumbags.
Yeah. Well, they filed a complaint in the magistrate's court and went ahead, and I thought I had enough to handle them there. We went to magistrate's court. They brought in some local attorney, and the magistrate found in my favor, basically because the attorney for Pressler representing Midland really didn't have enough information, didn't have account number. So the judgment was for me. Pressler and Pressler turned around and appealed it to district court. And I wasn't sure what I was doing then. What I did was I had a hearing in district court, and I went in and put a notice to appear a couple hours before the hearing. And at that time, we were looking at assumed name certificates, and I put along with that, I asked for the judge's oath of office, but I didn't appear. Later on that late morning, the judge, or the, I guess it was the three of them, it was a panel, they found in favor of Midland because I didn't appear. And so then I appealed it, and I have an appeal of this hearing, my appeal scheduled for in a month, July 12th. And they, order from the courts for a de novo non-jury hearing scheduled for July 12th.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, and so I have this hearing coming up, and I'm not sure how to handle it. But in addition, just to throw some icing on the cake here, is I'm also going through a foreclosure, and we got a record of property liens. And Pressler and Pressler, the two attorneys that have been in contact with me for them, and Pressler and Pressler themselves, have all put liens on my house. And they aren't representing Pressler, well, they aren't representing Midland, but the attorneys, I know their names, and one of the three liens is from Pressler and Pressler, and the other two, and they're all representing a company called New Century Financial, Inc. And so that's my story.
I got a question for you.
Sure.
What year did that credit card default?
Well, I'll tell you what, it was January of 2015 when I sent my first accepted for value. So end of 2014.
When did it go into default? When did you stop paying it?
I'd say 2014.
Okay, what state are you in?
Pennsylvania.
Do you know what your statute of limitations is for credit card debt in Pennsylvania?
No, I don't.
Well, you need to look that up. Because, for instance, all right, Midland is a junk debt peddler. They never have account-level documentation, and they can't get it to prove it up. That's why they didn't have it that first time you went to court. And they would never have gotten that judgment either if you'd have shown up, because they can't prove it up. However, a lot of the stuff they buy, and I do mean most of the stuff they buy, is past statute of limitations to sue you on. Now, that doesn't stop them from doing it, because if you're not smart enough to know they can't do it, then they can get a default judgment when you don't show up. So you need to check that, because, for instance, some states are like 6 years, like Georgia, but here now I'm in North Carolina, and it's 3 years. So anything from 2014 would be past the statute of limitations for them to sue on, and you could get it thrown out of court just by showing up and saying so, because the court does not have jurisdiction.
Okay.
So you need to know that. That's number one. Okay. Now, when you do get to the appeal on that, obviously you're in appeal because you didn't show up. And I'm just going to say this. You got to let go of all that administrative process nonsense, like, A for V and all that. It will never hold up in court. They might have gone away and not wanted to mess with you because you're more of a pain in the butt than anything else, but in a court of law, you don't have a chance with that. The courts will not hear it. It doesn't work, and you can end up going to jail for using it. We have friends in federal prisons for using it. So please don't do that anymore. Now, when you get to the appeal on that, like I said, obviously it's because you didn't show up, but that is when you're going to say that the reason you got the judgment at the magistrate court was that they had absolutely no proof of any account that they had the right to sue you on. And they need to produce that. And the only way they can validate, you have to understand what account level documentation is. That means something with your signature on it, showing that you agreed to pay, something with a zero account ledger balance, meaning starting from zero and going to the amount that they say is owed. And when they buy that junk debt, that's why they're called junk debt peddlers, is because they can't get it. It doesn't exist. And they buy it under as-is contracts. In other words, they buy a spreadsheet with 3,000 or 4,000 fragmented data accounts, like account numbers and a balance and a person's name, maybe not a social security number, whatever. All they get in that spreadsheet is fragmented account data. They do not get account level documents with those purchases.
Okay,
so Dave, you want to step in with the rest of it?
Well, no, you're doing fine. It's the biggest thing that I'm concerned with is that he really stay away from the administrative process stuff. All of the stuff you were doing in your other courts, like Terry said, that's a great way to get yourself a judgment against you and possibly end up with your butt in jail. And like Terry said, we know people that have been or are currently still in prison for using that.
Right.
And it's okay. Not a joke. It just depends on who they decide to pick on and nail their butt to the wall, because they indiscriminately will take somebody and they will make an example out of them, and your life can get pretty, pretty dismal if they do that.
Yeah. One of my friends didn't even know what he was doing. You know, he was just following instructions. Somebody else told him what to do. And he ended up going to federal prison at the age of 76.
Holy cow. I haven't done that for a couple years now, but I was on that kick for a good year. Actually, a lot back down, but this one in particular didn't. But I've since stopped, and I appreciate your input that I won't do that anymore.
Yeah, well, Pressler and Pressler is a real scumbag bottom feeder law firm, and their checks cash like all the debt collectors' checks cash. They've been sued by everybody under the sun, including the attorney general for their state. And they, you know, they're just like all the debt buyers. They're playing a numbers game. You know, they don't review the cases they file. They file literally thousands of them every year, and they just bet. It's like rolling the dice that 98% of all the ones they file, the consumer isn't going to show up, and they're going to get an easy default judgment without ever proving anything up. Now, things are changing because I had a five-year battle with Midland and Encore Capital Group, and I took it all the way to the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals and finally made some case law for the whole country that identifies Midland as a junk debt peddler and that they must be able to produce account-level documentation. Well, that happened 2 years ago, and the dominoes are falling quicker now than they were in the very beginning. And a lot of courts in a lot of states now, and in North Carolina specifically, they can't even file a lawsuit in a state court here anymore against a consumer. No debt collector can, or even an original creditor, unless they have the account level documentation attached to the complaint. They can't even file. So North Carolina, you know, good for them. Some other states are catching up quicker than others, and the courts are finally realizing, you know, the game that's going on. So that's in your favor.
Yeah, the Pennsylvania statute of limitations on contracts is 4 years.
Okay, then. If it was 2014... and we're halfway through 2018, you need to go figure out what date it was that account went into default, because it may be just past the statute of limitations for being sued on.
Okay. I'm guessing it was probably late in the year 2014, so we've probably got another 4 or 5 months before it would be 4 years. I'm guessing.
Well, they've already filed suit, so they captured the statute of limitations.
Yeah, if he's right about the date. And I wouldn't guess.
Yeah.
I would, you know, because it's really, really important. That is your easiest way out and put it to bed forever. So don't just guess. Go look.
No,
find out.
I've got a whole file. I could dig. I have it here, but I just didn't want to take the time looking. I can look for it and get back on. You could take another call. I can check that out.
And as far as statute of limitations is concerned, it is the date of the first payment missed.
If your payment was due on July 1st of 14, the default date is July 2nd of 14.
Exactly.
You didn't make the payment on the 1st. So that's how to figure your default date exactly.
Okay.
But capture the statute of limitations for legal purposes, they have to file suit within the 4-year statute of limitations. So you need to look back at when they filed the lawsuit that you're dealing with at this point.
Would the lawsuit be the magisterial suit?
The magistrate court, that's the lawsuit that you're dealing with at the present time, right?
Right, and that was April 25th of 2017.
Oh, okay, so they were probably well within the 4-year statute of limitations then, based on the information that you've got. So you've been,
if your memory is correct,
a year. Yeah.
Yeah, if his memory is correct.
Right.
It's still a good idea
to just go and get the facts. Don't, you know, guesswork and assumptions are very bad things to utilize when you're dealing with legal issues. Facts are what you need, facts and evidence.
We're pretty organized, so yeah. I'll be sure on that. I can check that out. Like I said, while the call's still going on. Now, when you talk about, they did send me the exhibits that they were going to use in the hearing that I didn't appear at the district court. Am I looking for anything in particular to make sure that they have the right documents? You said they need a signature.
Okay, what did they send you?
They sent me pretty much statements. Looks like it's all credit card agreements. I don't see any signatures of mine in here.
Go
ahead, Terry.
Okay, if you need to look at the oldest statement, if they sent you more than one, and see if it starts with a zero balance. Because if it doesn't, like let's say the balance on that is $600. Well, where did the $600 come from? They have to be able to prove to the penny what is owed. And if their documentation starts at $600, they lose because they got to explain that $600. You see, that's number one. Then you said terms and agreement, the agreement they sent you, right?
Right.
Does it have any signature on it at all?
No.
Well, then where's the proof that terms and agreement applies to that account? And where's the proof that account applies to you?
They can't just say it. They have to prove it.
Okay.
Account level documentation is going to be a copy of the application with your signature that ties you to that specific account. Account level documentation is going to be a complete documentation of all charges, payments, and everything else, every transaction in that account from square one, from zero balance to present. And if they sent you a bunch of statements, you need to go through them very carefully and look at the dates and find the oldest one and see if they're consecutive, see if it starts with a zero balance, like Terry said, because very honestly, I've seen where things started with thousands of dollars balance. I've seen where somebody got 3 inches of paper of statements, so-called statements, and there were three different account numbers in it.
Yep.
In the stuff that they got. Three different account numbers in there. Now, who do you think lost and who do you think won in that case in court? But these are the kind of details that you have to look for.
And if there's no contract there, where is the documentation showing the allowable interest being charged? Nowhere. And I'm sure that there is interest included in whatever it is they're trying to collect. So where is their legal basis for that amount of interest and accruing on what, from when, and by whom?
Okay.
Now, see, these are things that the law says must be there, that they must be able to prove up. And if you have an idiot judge who doesn't understand, you're going to have to educate him. And we've had to do that, you know. But that's the kind of thing that will take you to a win in court, because you are fighting in their arena, their game, with their sports equipment. You just got to be a better player.
Gotcha. Now,
the key words. Yeah, let me throw something in here that's real important. The key words when you are talking at that hearing is they are required to provide account level documentation. All account level documentation.
Okay.
And you know, you can always say, Your Honor, if they haven't got it today, I would move for either a dismissal for lack of jurisdiction in this matter, or a continuance with a reasonable amount of time for them to produce it, because it's been sold to a debt buyer who can't produce it. And sometimes the courts will say, and I've seen it happen, okay, I'll give you, this is to the other side, to Midland especially, you've got 10 days to come back in my court with the document, account level documentation, and if you don't, I'm going to dismiss it with prejudice in favor of the defendant. And they usually don't show up in 10 days.
Okay.
For the simple reason that they can't get the documentation.
Exactly. Right. And they don't want to stand there in front of the judge and say, well, we couldn't get it, Your Honor.
Well, you were supposed to have it before you ever started this lawsuit, Mr. Dumbledore.
Exactly.
Right. Okay. I I'm going to go through while we're listening to the calls. I got this pile. My pile's not 3 inches thick, but it's over an inch. And it's all in order. It's all in order.
Oh, that's
and
good.
I'm gonna,
that's good. That's better than most people.
I'm going
to
see.
And also something, you've got a month to get ready for this. And if I were you, especially since you're new to playing the arena in the right game, go do some research and just Google it. Be easy for you to find. Litigation against Pressler and Pressler by Eric Schneiderman, the New York State Attorney General. And read those rulings and their pleadings. And that will give you plenty of ammunition against Pressler and Pressler.
What about the putting a lien on my house? Three liens.
That's got to
well,
do with
do
the
you
foreclosure.
Know that,
yeah. That's a whole different issue.
That's a different issue.
Well, I mean, but
even
it's
if it's
nonsense.
The same law firm, it's a different issue.
But it's non-secured debt. I mean, they have nothing to do with my house. They just have this, the Midland, Pressler and Pressler is only from Midland on this credit card.
They can't put a lien on your property without a judgment. Now,
and if there is an active appeal, they don't have an active judgment until you lose the appeal. Did you dispute that with the credit reporting agencies?
No.
The lien?
No.
Okay, you need to do that. And you also need to send Midland and Pressler, everybody who's even been involved, a demand for debt validation. ASAP.
Okay.
Yeah, every attorney who has touched the case signed a paper, and Pressler and Pressler as the law firm, all of them should individually get debt validation letters.
Okay.
And so does Midland, Dave.
Oh, well, of course, yeah.
So the two attorneys and Pressler and Pressler, three to Pressler and Pressler, and another debt validation to Midland?
Right.
And they switch names, Midland Funding, Midland whatever.
Well, the way Midland operates is Midland Funding is who they say actually owns the account, and Midland Credit Management is the collection arm. They're both the redheaded stepchildren of Encore Capital Group, which is the parent corporation. They're a publicly traded debt buyer, junk debt buyer. Midland Funding, they take – Midland Funding has no employees whatsoever. But they take and Encore purchases the account information. Notice I didn't say purchases the account. They purchase the account information. And then they act like Midland Funding is the one that owns it. But then Midland Credit Management is the collector. And then Midland Credit Management hires Pressler and Pressler to represent them in court. That's how the pieces of the puzzle fit together.
Okay.
And just so you know, I have 106 federal lawsuits against Midland, myself personally. I've been dealing with them for over 4 years, so. We do have a little bit of experience here with Midland, as you can see.
Yeah.
Yeah, I named all three in mine, and they just got their clock cleaned.
Well, that's what I would like to be. Is I'm going to learn to be a good clock cleaner.
Well, it's all it is standing up for your rights, but it's you have to learn how to do things properly, and that's why, you know, in the beginning we cautioned you about the administrative process stuff, because that's a that's just an absolute losing proposition. You need to understand how the courts operate, what the rules are, so that you operate within the rules, because if you don't, they'll beat you on procedure. You know, you can be right, but if you make a mistake and you don't follow procedure, they can beat you on procedure. And that's what they do very often. So understanding the court rules is going to be very, very important as well.
Yes, sir. Okay.
So you got your homework cut out for you, but you got plenty of time to work on it. I mean, at least it's not next week.
Right, right. No, I'm glad I found out about you guys, and let's see, this, like I said, this first call, I just found out about you guys, and see if we can develop a relationship here, because I'd like to have great teachers.
Well, I have a call on Monday nights. I just had it last night. Terry has a call on Thursday nights. Then every other week we have these Tuesday calls, so there's every week there's at least two calls. So there's resources here as you study and as you're learning and you're wondering, you know, you get questions about what you're learning or what you've studied and read, you can come on these calls and, you know, ask the questions. That's what we're here for. I mean, I got to admit, we charge a lot free, but we're out here every week.
Okay. So. Okay. Then
And I will announce at the end of the call, I will announce the information for Terry's call for Thursday night so that you'll have that information if you don't have it now.
Okay, great. And you guys were, let me see, Terry, John, Larry, and Jesse's not on tonight. Dave, right?
Right. I'm Dave, yeah.
Okay, great. Okay, I got my homework cut out for me. Let me listen to the rest of the call and dig in the meantime. And if I have any questions, I'll maybe get back on before the end of the call. If not, I'll be on Thursday.
And
all right.
If you find that you need a partner for membership in the website, send me an email. Dave will give you my email address at the end of this call.
I'm sorry,
and I'll hook you up.
You're breaking up.
What's
I didn't
that?
Hear anything you said.
Terry, your audio was pretty bad there.
Okay, let me try again. If you find that you need a partner to share the cost of the membership for Jesse's website, send me an email, let me know, because I can hook you up with someone else who also wants a partner.
Okay. That'd be great. That'd be great. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Well, we got somebody new there. That's great, and I'm glad we got somebody off of the administrative process bandwagon. Oh my God, that just scares me every time we run into somebody that's been involved in that. All right, let's go to 609. 609, you're unmuted for your question. Go ahead.
Oh, thank you. How's everyone?
Oh, pretty good. How are you?
I'm just ducky. Little break from the rain. But I just wanted to contribute to that Pennsylvania caller. But since I got in the queue, you guys have already given them that information. I would just like to add for Pennsylvania that your statute of limitations might be subject to a 3-year statute of limitations if it is Discover Bank or Capital One account. Then I'd also like to add that your 4 years begins 30 days after your last payment.
Okay.
And that, you want to do that reading that Dave suggested, because you really need to get you some case law when you go in to argue. And that was it. Except for I have some good news.
Always take good news. You know that.
I got the electronic copy. Hard copy is being overnighted for my foreclosure settlement agreement.
All right.
So it's
Ta-da.
Been executed. And that's
well,
that's
better
me.
To have it executed than you executed, that's for sure.
Oh, yes, I agree.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm going to mute out.
All right. Well, thank you, dear. I appreciate your contribution to the information there. All right. I'm going to tell everybody, you know, you guys know the drill. If you've got questions, you know, we got a number of people on the call tonight. Hit the one key. That's how you put yourself in the queue. You know, the question that you don't ask and don't get an answer to, that's the stupid question. If you've got a question you're thinking, you know, I don't want to sound stupid, you know. Don't do that. We're here to help you. We're not here trying to, you know, look like, oh, well, we've got all the answers. We don't. We've got a bunch, but we don't have all the answers. And the main thing is that people get the help that they need or answer to a question. Maybe you've just got a miscellaneous question about something that you've been thinking about that you're not sure about. You know, maybe it's not related to a potential situation that you have right at the moment. But if you've got that question, hit the one key and put yourself in the queue so that you can ask the question and we can answer it for you. Because if we don't get anybody else that pops their hand up here, we'll go ahead and wrap things up for tonight. I know it's way early. We always budget our 2 hours time-wise on these nights to answer questions to help people out. That's why we're here. But, you know, if we don't have people with questions, then we'll just go ahead and do some other things. I've got plenty to do. I know Terry's got things to do. John, Larry, everybody's got stuff to do. We donate our time. Well, I've been doing this 9 years, and I never missed a Monday night. The call that I did last night finished up 9 consecutive years without one Monday night off. That's the kind of dedication we got to helping you guys. But, you know, we can't help you if you don't stick your hand up in the air and say, hey, wait a minute, I got a question here. So with all that said, I'm not seeing any more hands popping up. Do any of our moderators have anything that they want to bring up and mention before we check out of here? Now all of a sudden we've got a hand up here. We'll get to them in just a second. But any of our moderators got anything that they want to throw in? Oh, now we got a couple people. So you guys are kind of asleep at the switch here. Come on, you got to get on the stick. All right, let's go to 712. You are unmuted for your question. Go ahead.
Hi, Dave, Terry, John. Everybody listening there, this is Joe up here in sunny South Dakota.
Penguin chaser.
The penguin chaser, that's correct, yeah. Penguin whisperer. I just have a quick update here about all this LLC business. If you remember, Leroy and I were putting together these LLCs for friendly judgment lien, and we have hit a snag on the office address for the South Dakota LLC. And I think I explained last week that the problem was that they want Leroy to do an online notary session to validate his identity and proceed with the final stages of getting the address. And since that time, I've called it's called Earth Class Mail.com. where we got the office address. Apparently, they don't have telephone, an 800 number you can call for service. I tried calling a number last week, called like four times, left a couple of messages, didn't get any kind of an answer back. And so I got online at their EarthLink webpage here, and they have a online support email address. So I sent them an email this afternoon explaining. I sent it via Leroy. In other words, I sent it as if I was Leroy, saying that I was waiting to get some response regarding the street address. And I explained to him again that I didn't have a way of accessing their online notary service. And please send me the proper documents, and I will have them notarized, and I will send them back to you as quickly as I can. So I'm waiting to hear back from them. But other than that, everything is done. And the LLC, the South Dakota LLC, has been formed, so the clock is ticking on the timeline for the lawsuit. But I guess I was just wondering if this EarthLink or this EarthClass webpage doesn't if I don't hear back from them, I was just wondering if there's some other. I've looked at other similar sites, but the problem continually is that they all provide an online notary service, which Leroy can't access. So I guess I was just wondering if anybody had any bright ideas about how I could possibly get an address without having to go through all this notarizing rigmarole, so that Leroy doesn't have to get, you know, bothered by it.
I don't have any specific suggestion. I mean, other than, you know, just kind of keep looking.
Yeah.
I mean, you well, know, obviously, I did get an answer. You know, don't give up the ghost.
Oh, no, no, no. Not, this is the only thing left to do. It's everything else is done, and just waiting for that to get accomplished. And I just wanted to give an update, and I'm going to keep working on it. There's a couple of other websites that I will try. They want to use an online notary service too, but maybe they'll be a little bit more cooperative than this other web link. But
ought to be able to just do a paper notarization. You know,
well,
someone
exactly,
ought to be able to do that.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you actually
so
go in that place and ask them if they had a form?
Oh, yes, I did. I did. I went in, and that's how I got a number to call. I went in last week. I told the receptionist there what the situation was, and she's very familiar with the EarthClass website, and she gave me a name and a number to call. And I called, I forget her name, I called her like four times, and I left a couple of messages. I never heard back from her, but then I got a call and a message from a representative of EarthLink explaining to me that if I wanted to ask for any kind of support or direction, they guided me to this particular web page where I could send them an email, which is what I did. So I just asked them if they could please send the proper documents, and I'd have them notarized and sent back to them. And so, like I said, I'm just waiting on that. So that's where that is at. So anyway, like I said, if this doesn't work out, I'll keep looking around. But I just wanted to give a quick update about that.
Nothing like technology
All right.
to make everything grind to a halt.
I have another quick question regarding something else. I just recently received in the mail another collection notice from a law firm, and they have been given or referred to, I should say, from a debt buyer that has bought one of my alleged debts, and they were just simply notifying me to tell me that this particular alleged debt had been referred to their office.
Have you mailed them a debt validation letter yet?
No, I just got it, so I'm going to do that.
Dave used to be proud of the fact that he would have his out before the end of the day.
Exactly.
Well,
I get my mail at 1 o'clock and get and I got the Dunning letter in it, and by 4 o'clock my validation letter was over at the post office.
Yeah, so that's what you're doing tomorrow, is mailing them that.
Right.
And was it signed by an attorney?
Well, that was one of my questions. It's not signed.
That's right. See, because this is the notification letter that they've received the file, and they can't attempt to collect on it until they've given you 30 days to request validation. If they don't hear from you, they're going to assume the debt is valid and they're going to attempt to collect. But if you send them a debt validation letter, then they're going to either try to get some documentation and mail it to you, or they're going to pass and let someone else step in the bear trap. You know,
and you'll never hear from
the law firm. You'll never hear from them again, because once you send a debt validation letter, there's basically two options: validate or send you a letter saying we will no longer attempt to collect from you.
The other question I have was, since this has been referred to a law firm, that would wouldn't that indicate that they are getting ready to perhaps file a lawsuit because it's now
with the
firm?
What's the name of the law firm?
Rausch, Rauch, Sturm, Sturm. And they are out of Wisconsin, Brookfield, Wisconsin.
That's the Milwaukee area.
Is that Rausch, Sturm, Israel, Anderson, and Hornick? Yeah,
exactly.
Well, they pop right up real quick. And then the second thing in Google search is Sergey Lemberg. Okay, let's see what it says. Rausch, Sturm is a debt collection agency which receives a lot of consumer complaints to our law firm for debt harassment. Find out who they are and why they might be calling and how you can stop them. So, there you go. What do they do? Da-da-da. Violations of the FDCPA, such as threatening to take actions that cannot legally be taken and attempting to collect debts that are not owed. If you've been contacted by them, understand your rights before taking action. According to the Better Business Bureau, they were founded in 1997, incorporated in 2008. The profile page is from 2004. Their profile page lists 13 additional phone numbers and lists them as a collection agency. BuzzFile estimates their annual revenues are $3.9 million, and the size of its headquarters is 67 people on staff. They call themselves a law firm that helps creditors issue creditor issues and consumer resolve financial setbacks and get both parties back on track. Doing the right thing, being honest, giving back to the community. And they say that every interaction with a consumer, a client, or a vendor is an opportunity to prove it. So,
what's their BBB rating, John? Did they have one?
No, it doesn't. I'm not looking at BBB. This is what Sergey says.
Okay.
How many complaints?
Yeah, and I'm Queen Victoria.
31 complaints. in the past 3 years, three closed in the past 12 months. Most of those complaints allege problems with billing and collection, although several complaints also allege problems with customer service. Since April 2015, the CFPB has received 41 complaints about them. Justia lists at least 8 cases in civil litigation involving them. Okay. And,
yeah,
and
following
hey,
along here.
They're considered low-hanging fruit because Lemberg says, can you help me file a no-fee lawsuit against them? Absolutely. Here are some sample cases against them, blah, 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 and it goes down the line. So, you know, I'd just say Google a little bit, but you can do that playing around after you mail them a debt validation letter.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That kind of leads to my other question about mailing them a debt validation letter, because I got two letters from them. One was this, I guess you call it the boilerplate communication from a debt collector that I owe them a certain amount of money, and it's not signed. And then I got a second letter too, and this letter is simply a privacy notice explaining how they what they do with my personal
information. The
information
they get. Because
right,
as soon as you respond to them, any information they collect can be used for, you know, against you for collection purposes. But they also have to tell you if they sell it forward or this, that, and the other. So they're just covering their butts that way. We found those privacy notices very useful with a company called Midland in Encore, because it listed all their subsidiaries and affiliates, which were other parties you could sue, because, you know, ostensibly by the fact that they sent you a collection letter and then they send you this notice with all the other companies, hey, that was a communication in connection with the collection of alleged debt.
So that would be okay. So you're telling me that's already a violation?
No, you didn't understand what I said.
Oh, that's right.
Midland has they had like 12 or 13 related companies with different names. So why not sue them all? Because they sent you a letter saying they're all related. Well, it was all related to the previous letter that says you owed a debt. So sue them all.
Oh, yeah, I understand. This leads to my second question. Like I said, I got two letters from them. Both of them are from Ross Sturm, and they give their address as a Brookfield, Wisconsin. But before I opened it, before I opened the letter itself, in the return address page, showed an address that is not Brookfield, Wisconsin. It's the one letter showed a different address of Ross Sturm here in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, with a street name, number, and a suite number. So I have two letters from Ross Sturm, two different dates, two different return addresses. So my intention was to send a validation letter to both of these addresses. But just out
I think
of curiosity,
that's a good idea, because let me ask you this. If you look in your state corporate database or whatever you're going to look at, see if the local office in your state, if that company is doing business, if it's a foreign entity doing business in your state, or if it's a separate corporation. If it's a separate corporation, then you have two fictitious individuals coming after you. One in your state, the other one in a different state, and they probably aren't licensed with your Department of Financial Regulations as a debt collector.
Okay.
Which is taking a legal action without that you're not legally entitled to take. If they're not licensed in your state, they're taking a legal action they're not legally entitled to take. The foreign one from the other state.
Okay. Just out of curiosity, I went down to this address just to see just to see where they were and there is a Rock Stern that is located at this specific address here in Sioux Falls. So I guess the question I have is they've got the address, the main address. Their main firm is in Wisconsin. So why do they have, you know, and I went up to the office suite and, you know, they've got their name, their shingle right out there in front of the door. Why do they have an address here at Sioux Falls, South Dakota? Just because to be able to go to court.
And to be able to collect. You have to, right. You know, you have to have a local attorney. If Dave wants to go sue someone in sunny South Dakota, he's going to have to hire a local attorney. He can't use his fictitious bar card there.
I understand that, but why don't they just farm it out to a local firm here? Why do they have their own?
My little round clear glass globe broke a few years ago, and I've never been able to put it back together.
Well, you got to get
what someone might guess is this: is that by having their own firm, they have less cost because they hire attorneys fresh out of college that can barely pay their student loans back. You know, back in the day when foreclosures were all over the place, legal secretaries got paid more per hour than attorneys. They get these new attorneys fresh out of school who could not afford their $150,000 worth of student loans. But the legal secretaries were the one doing all the work. The attorneys just had a bar card and were able to sign off on stuff. And they got paid less money because they were a dime a dozen.
And so you need to think in terms of when 98% of the time, nobody shows up in court, so all they got to do is walk into the courtroom, plop down the papers, and get a default judgment. It's real easy for them.
So, if I understand,
except when they run into people like you. Oops.
So what they would do then is, if they were to pursue a complaint against me, is they just they've got some attorneys here in Sioux Falls,
local.
I'm assuming that they'll just say, hey, look, we need you to handle this for me, and they just go through the, and they've done it before, that the office is there for them to work out of.
The paperwork is probably prepared someplace else, and these are just some warm bodies that they send into court, and that's about the size of it. So, but I tell you what, are you a hunter?
No, well, I hunt at Walmart.
Oh, because it just, you know, Dave looks up his attorneys online, and there
you need to do your due diligence.
That's why I went down there today, because I wanted to get all the number, all the names. You know, they just said on the letter, it just said Rosh and Stern. So I went down there and I wanted to see if there were any other names associated with the office, so that I could, like you said, Dave, so I could go take a look, and also possibly go over to the courthouse and check some cases that have, you know, some complaints that have been filed by this law firm or whoever represents this law firm, and just start to get a feel for who they are. So I definitely know what you mean.
Yep.
So
do your homework.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Well, that's really all I have, I guess. I'll get those validation letters out tomorrow, and I'll keep working on this address problem. And I'm not really that concerned about it. Like I said, the timeline has already started. So this We can get this address, I guess, anytime between now and the time we have to file a complaint. So anyway, that's where I'm at, everyone. And
congratulations.
Again, thank you for your time.
Okay.
And we'll talk to you soon, I'm sure.
All righty. Be nice to those penguins.
Oh, and Gabe, for the previous caller in Pennsylvania, Kirby Skyped me. I wasn't at the computer, so I didn't see it. Pressler and Pressler also owns New Century. So if it was that New Century company on the foreclosure, that could be what the lien is.
Yeah. All right. We are going to go to 202. You have been unmuted. Go ahead.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yeah. How you guys doing? I'm a first-time caller. I've been a member for a while. I'm the first time calling in, actually, to the conference calls. I'm present going through a foreclosure as well. They filed a complaint, and we have somebody help me out as pro se. We filed a response based on time-barred debt. I'm waiting to hear back from them now. My question to you is FDCPA, where you fight based on FDCPA violations, is that a proper way to fight a foreclosure?
Well, that's usually where we start, because generally anybody that tries to collect a debt is going to violate the FDCPA in one form or another.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And you have to do get your federal lawsuit filed before there's any adjudication of your state court suit. That's very important.
I suppose a lawsuit in federal court.
That's where you bring your action for FDCPA violations, but you want to understand the statute. You need to understand the statute and understand how the violations occur and what violations you may have before you bring that lawsuit. But yes, we do file in federal court. Absolutely. Your state courts are just abundantly corrupt. They just are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the lawyers golf with the judges on the weekend. You don't have as much of that. You don't see that in the federal courts. That's not to say that there isn't corruption in the federal courts, because we all know there is. It's just that there's less chance of it, and you have a better chance of getting somewhere dealing with a federal court as opposed to filing an FDCPA claim at the state level.
Are you familiar with Select Portfolio Servicing?
Oh, yeah, it's a familiar name.
Yeah, that's the one that's coming against me.
SPS.
I don't know. SPS, right. Is a time-barred way effective way, or that's probably another angle?
Well, what do you mean by time-barred?
Well, the guy I worked with, he found the statute that, you know, the debt is only after 4 years, you can't collect the debt. Somebody was saying...
Well, are you talking on a foreclosure?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
No, that doesn't apply to foreclosures.
Oh, okay. There's no time bar on that? Time.
Well, you can end up having a statute of limitations issue on a foreclosure, but that's going to be years and years after you stop making payments without them bringing an action for foreclosure. See, there's a lot of people that don't understand how to read, you know, the statutes. You know, so evidently your friend or whoever it was that told you, oh, well, there's a statute of limitations of 4 years. That's probably on a credit card, on an unsecured debt. So let's say you defaulted on July 1st of 2012. If they didn't bring their lawsuit against you for that by July 1st of 2016, then they're past the statute of limitations, and then they can't sue you. But a mortgage situation is totally different. Mortgage doesn't fall under that.
Oh, so we're barking the wrong tree, totally, dude.
Now, see, if you, let's say you defaulted, you had a payment due on July 1st of 2012.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't make it. Well, here we are in 2018. Do you think they're going to wait 6 years before they start coming after you on a foreclosure? No. They're going to bring an action much sooner than that.
Okay, so when you file an action, that's when it stops, basically.
Well, an action. What I mean by an action is a lawsuit.
Right.
A foreclosure action.
And once you do that, the clock stops ticking, I guess. Right.
What do you mean the clock stops ticking?
Well, 4 years, you know, they do before the 4 years, and, you know, they can't.
Well,
can't.
No, like I said, that doesn't apply. That doesn't apply to mortgage loans, to real estate.
Okay.
That example was for unsecured debt. See, there are different statutes of limitations for different things.
Mm-hmm.
Secured loans are different than unsecured. You have to go and look at your statute of limitations for your individual states to start learning about that stuff. It isn't just a blanket deal, oh, there's one statute of limitations. No, there's various things.
Is it possible now to come back in and file an amendment or something else in addition to what I filed in?
Well, we really don't know what it is exactly that you filed. I mean, you filed some kind of an answer, I'm assuming, right?
Correct.
A complaint?
Yeah.
Okay.
Correct.
And you're arguing statute of limitations. Well, the court isn't going to go for that.
Right.
So you have to understand, when you file an answer and affirmative defenses, when you file affirmative defenses, and that's what that would be, statute of limitations would be an affirmative defense, you have the burden of proof. Just like if you sued them and they answered and they filed in affirmative defenses, like, oh, we didn't do it, you know, statute of limitations, latches, you know, this, that, and the other thing. They have the burden of proof at trial or at summary judgment to prove those things, just like you as a defendant have the burden of proof in your case to prove that the statute of limitations applies to the situation, when in reality, for you, I can almost 101% assure you that it doesn't.
It doesn't what?
It does not
apply. Apply, okay.
Right.
So then what should I do? Should I amend my answer? Was it too late or what?
Well, here again, we don't know how you answered the complaint. I mean, I don't have a copy of it. I don't know what you said. Yeah. Did you deny down through the list of the things, the claims that they make?
Not really. It's kind of jumped right into the time barred debt and statute of limitations. He didn't think it denied it per se. No, he didn't. No.
Okay, like I say, without knowing what you filed into the case, I couldn't even begin to answer that. I don't know if somebody else wants to address that, but.
Well, I guess my question again is, can I amend it? Can I amend my answer?
No, you can file an amended answer. I would think you could, yes.
Yeah, I'm assuming from what you're saying, my defense is lacking, so I need to add something to it to make it, you know, give some potency to it.
Well, when you have to sit down, you have to read, okay, what did they say? You know, when they bring their foreclosure complaint against you, it says, you know, paragraph one, you know, you are so-and-so. Paragraph two, you reside at, you know, 1234 Main Street. Paragraph three, such and such. Paragraph four, paragraph five. Well, if it is you, well, you can't deny it. If you do live at 124 Main Street, you can't deny that. But then they start saying you took out a mortgage, you know, on August 1st of 2012 in the amount of, you know, $10 million or whatever it is, you know. You can deny those things. That's what you want to do. In your answer to a complaint is you have to take it paragraph by paragraph. Do you understand? Did you ever look at any sample documents, any examples of things out on the internet or anything on how to answer a complaint like that?
I thought about joining Jewish Dictionary to get a better understanding. That was my next move. Is that a good way to learn?
Well, Juris Dictionary has got a bunch of good information in it, but Juris Dictionary isn't going to be, you know, entirely relevant to foreclosure issues. Are you a member of the website?
Yes, I am.
You are. Okay. Well, you need to be in there in the saving your home section. And you need to be going through the webinars that Jesse has done because he explains to you exactly how you need to do this stuff. He's won three foreclosure trials.
Well, there's so many recordings back here, I'm not sure where to start. I mean,
start at the beginning.
Right. Okay.
I mean, there's a lot of material there because there's a lot to learn. I mean, if you want to be effective, this isn't just something where you file a couple pieces of paper and then, you know, you just win in court. No, that's not how it works. I mean, there's a lot of work involved. You need to understand the process. You need to understand where the weak links are in who is trying to foreclose on you. Do they have the right to foreclose? You know, you need to look at the chain of title. You need to go down and look at your records at the recorder's office and get copies of all the assignments. Has the debt properly, the mortgage been properly assigned, the note or the mortgage? Or has that stuff been assigned properly to the party that's trying to foreclose? Is there a broken link in that chain? Is MERS involved? I mean, there's a ton of questions.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess looking at your site, I've been on it for a few months now. There's so many ways on this. I'm not sure where to start to attack it, I guess. You got a lot of things on you.
Well, there's Jesse's got two different webinar series that he did in there.
Okay.
It's a series of webinars. In other words, you know, there's part one, part two, part three, part four. Start at the beginning.
Where?
You need to start going through those.
Okay, where do I find that? I'm on here now.
Saving, you go into the webinar archives.
I'm on it right now. I'm on saving your home.
Webinar archives, and then you go find the saving your home section, and you'll find all the webinar information in there. And there's a series of webinars. It's not just
in foreclosure
one.
Foreclosure section?
In foreclosure.
Foreclosure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, I see. Fundamentals of foreclosure right there, and fundamentals of foreclosure revisited, and foreclosure bash. Where'd Jesse be?
He's the one that does those.
Okay, so.
You need to start spending the time and going through and watching those webinars and have yourself a cold drink. It's summertime. Get yourself a cold drink and have a pad and a pen to start making notes as you're going through that. There's a lot of information there. And I will tell you, I will tell you very honestly, you're not going to get everything out of it that you need to get out of it if you go through it once. Every one of those things that's in there, you're going to want to go through at least 3 to 4 times if you really want to learn the stuff.
Okay.
And you
because
want to go
it's
back.
It's so jam-packed with information.
To the early basic stuff. Don't start at the advanced level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But there's at least for 40 replays here with all of them?
Yeah. There's a lot of information there.
Mm-hmm.
How bad do you want to beat the bank?
Real bad.
Mm-hmm. There you go. How bad you want to beat the bank will determine how much time and energy you put into it.
So I guess back to my original question, am I too late with this answer, with the time bar?
When did you do that? When did you put that in?
About 7-10 days ago. They haven't responded yet. It's about 10 days ago.
Well, that's okay. That's not much time for them to do that. Basically, they're going to ignore your claim of statute of limitations. I mean, because it's just wrong. Very honestly, it's just wrong. You didn't understand what you're doing. Did you go through and did you do a complete answer, doing denial of each one of the individual paragraphs, or how did you put an answer? You're not even up to speed on what a document looks like. You want to go and do a Google on how to answer a foreclosure complaint.
Mm-hmm.
And look at the documents. See how they are structured. Look at what they say, how they are structured. Because if you don't understand the basics of, you know, the court procedure on how to even file a proper response to their lawsuit, you're going to be dead in the water. And it would appear, you know, at least from what you've said so far, that what you did was improper, actually.
I read somewhere that said if you answer before you ask for dismissal, you lose certain rights. That's true.
Well, you're going to have, if you're going to ask for dismissal, you have to have a basis for it. And first of all, like we just said, statute of limitations for you is a non-issue. That isn't something that's applicable to what you're dealing with. You know, the idea that you had, whoever, you know, told you that was 101% incorrect. But you need to understand at least how to properly file an answer to a lawsuit. And it doesn't matter whether it's a foreclosure lawsuit or a credit card lawsuit or anything else. There is a specific way for you to properly answer a lawsuit. And it would appear that you're not familiar with that. You need to put your styling of the case up at the top, and then you need to go through and list all of the various paragraphs that they have in their complaint, and you have to address each one. You know, I admit I'm Joe Smith. I admit that I live at 124 Main Street. I deny I got a mortgage loan from so-and-so and for $10 million in 2012. Or whatever, you know, you got to look at each individual paragraph.
Yeah, can I do that now? Is it too late?
No, I would highly recommend that you do it as fast as you possibly can, and then file it as an amended answer.
Okay.
That would be the title of it. Defendant's amended answer to plaintiff's complaint.
Okay.
And that would be the title of it. Defendant's amended answer to plaintiff's complaint.
Now, is it proper to reply to a complaint? Is that in your course?
What do you mean?
Amended answer. How to respond to a complaint. Is that in your course as well?
Well, it's not a course. There's a whole lot of documents in there. But like I said, you can just go out and Google, you know, how to answer a foreclosure complaint. Just type that into Google. Open up a Google search window. How to answer a foreclosure complaint. And then look at some of the documents that come up. examples. And the okay. the whole idea is you want I want you to think in terms of the structure of what you're looking at, of the structure of the document.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. I'll do that. I'll do that. One more. I know you got some other calls. One more quick question on the assignment issues. Isn't that a weakness when they assign the debt after the trust has closed? Is that
well? There can be all sorts of different issues on assignments, and that's why you want to go through those webinars that Jesse has done, because he points out all of the different things that you want to look for and look at. He's very specific in telling you, okay, you want to look for this, you want to look for this, you want to look for this.
Okay, I'll listen to
All right, yeah, well, you start, because they're, like I said, and you already saw, there's plenty to look at there. And you won't understand it all the first time you go through it. I guarantee you. Just as sure as you and I are having a phone conversation on a Tuesday night, you won't get all of it the first time, or even the second time you go through it. You're going to need to go through it multiple times. Okay?
Okay. I appreciate it. Thank you.
All righty. You're welcome.
Thank you.
Bye. All right. Let's see. We are going to look and see if we've got anybody else with a hand up here. All right, you guys. We got a half hour to go. I don't see another hand up here. If anybody has a question, hit the one key on the keypad in your phone, because if you don't, we're going to say sayonara. We're going to check out and say good night. And it looks like that's exactly what we're going to do, because I don't see any more hands coming
Dave.
Up.
Good call.
Well, we covered some stuff tonight.
And we have.
All
we
right.
New people calling up, too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's always good to have new people coming. It is one of these things that we always have people cycling, but it's good to see new people coming in and starting the learning process, just like the gentleman that was just there. And he's from area code 202, which is the D.C. area. And we've got people all over from D.C. all the way out to California.
Well, just to remind them, I got the webinar tomorrow at 3 o'clock on protecting your money.
I don't need to remind them. I think John just did. For all of you people, if you think back to the gentleman that was talking just a little while ago, not the last one that spoke, but the gentleman before that, Jumpin' Joe the Penguin Chaser up in sunny South Dakota, he is doing stuff to protect his assets, and that's what John is really sharp on. He's doing the webinar on that tomorrow afternoon. This is for members only. It's at 3 o'clock Eastern time, and if you want to know some of the finer points of doing that and where some great resources are, John knows all about that. He'll be more than happy to answer your questions tomorrow at 3 o'clock Eastern. And then Thursday night, Terry has her call. And for all the new people, if you have not gotten on Terry's email list to get the call reminders from her, send an email to queensongbird@gmail.com and just say, please put me on the list. That's all you got to do. She sends out information from time to time, plus she also uses that once you get on her list. After her call, she sends the link for the call recording, because it's not like TalkShoe where it's automatic. You have to go and get the link from Terry and then go and bring it up using that link that she provides each week. So you want to be sure that you're on her email list. Then the rest of the week through the weekend, that's where you use the forum if you're a member. And if you're not a member, shame on you, because how can you learn if you don't have the information in front of you? What Lies in Your Debt is the biggest website with the most information like this of anything out on the web. There's nothing else like this. You know, we've been out here since, we're going on 8 years. And there's a tremendous number of webinars. There's hundreds and hundreds. We may even be in the thousands on the webinars now. But there's all sorts of resources there. There's a forum. You can post your questions. You can go in and study the questions and answers in the forum, and it's all broken down by subject matter. So, you know, if you're interested in foreclosure stuff, you can go to the foreclosure section of the forum. You can go into the taking their money section or the beating credit card section or the TCPA section. And there have been questions asked in there that many of you wouldn't even think about. So there's things that you can learn in there. If you have a real interest in an area where you feel you're going to be litigating or possibly are presently, that's a great place to go and learn. Study, study, study. Don't wait until the hammer is dropped on you and then you're going, oh, my God, you got the deer in the headlights look. Find yourself behind the eight ball. Plan ahead. Get ahead of the curve instead of being behind the eight ball. So you do that. After the weekend, we're going to start next week like we always do with Dallas Debt Discussion. That's still on TalkShoe.com. The pin for that call is 54318. That starts at 9 o'clock Eastern. It's an hour later. We start our 10th year next Monday night. Never missed a Monday night in 9 years that we've been doing it. And the whole idea is we're here to help you guys. You know, we know it costs you a lot of money to get on these calls. Not. It's all done free. So it the main thing is if you want the education, we're here to help you get it, but you're the one that has to do it. We don't do it for you. And with that said, thanks to John and Larry and Terry for joining me tonight. Jesse was not available tonight. He had a speaking engagement. And we will be back here on Tuesday night in 2 weeks, 2 weeks from tonight. So hope everybody has a great evening. Come and join John tomorrow afternoon if you want to learn about asset protection and all the finer points of avoiding these scumbags that want to take your money. Have a great evening, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.